The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to the one who sent me, and not one of you asks, where are you going? But because I told you this, grief has filled your hearts. But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world with regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation. Sin, because they do not believe in me. Righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. Condemnation, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Thus were the words of today's Holy Gospel. Today, Jesus says something that should never cease to astonish us. I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus, truth incarnate, who can't deceive, was indicating that it was better for us that he go and the Holy Spirit come than that he stay and the Holy Spirit not come. If given a choice, in other words, between Jesus and the Holy Spirit, Jesus is saying, that we should choose the latter. The great joy that we have as Christians is we don't have to choose between the second and third persons of the Holy Trinity. As Christians, when we remain in loving communion with God, we can and do have both indwelling within us, together with God the Father, who sends us them in love. But by these words, Jesus is indicating to us the extraordinary importance of the Holy Spirit in the Christian life to complete Jesus' mission in us and through us in the world. The reality is, however, many Christians do not recognize this truth. That's been a problem for the church since the beginning. There's a scene in the Acts of the Apostles when St. Paul came to Ephesus and met some disciples. He asked, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you first became believers?" They responded, "I've never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Pope Emeritus Benedict at World Youth Day in Australia in 2008 said, "The Holy Spirit has in some ways been the neglected person of the Blessed Trinity," and confessed that it was only when he was a 37-year-old priest teaching theology at university that he began to grasp that the Holy Spirit should have a major role in his life and that he must welcome the Holy Spirit within. He said to the young people across the world in Australia, "It's not enough just to know about the Spirit. We must welcome him as the guide of our souls, as the teacher of the interior life who introduces us to the mystery of the Trinity, because he alone can open us up to faith and allow us each day to live that faith to the full." And we don't have to be a card-carrying member of the charismatic renewal to allow the Holy Spirit to become that teacher and guide. If we wish to understand the faith, if we wish to live it, if we wish to pass it on, we must allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit. Even if we, like Father Joseph Ratzinger, are beginning as adults. For us, the great unknown must become the great known, the teacher, the leader, the consoler, the advocate. The Holy Spirit, Pope Benedict said, is the highest gift of God to mankind. And God the Father and God the Son desperately want us to open up that gift And like a child on Christmas, with gratitude, let that gift change our life. Very pleased this year that I've been assigned to celebrate not only today's Mass with you, but also the sixth Sunday after the Easter Octave on June 2nd and Pentecost on June 9. If you look over the entire liturgical calendar in the Roman Missal, when the Church ponders Jesus' last words from the upper room on Holy Thursday, these are the three Sundays in which we ponder what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. So we'll have a chance, systematically we can say, to go deeper into this work of God's greatest gift, the role that the Holy Spirit's supposed to have in your life and mine, how he wants to help us to pray better, because as St. Paul says, we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes with us with sighs too deep for words and helps us to cry out, Abba, Father. How he wants to help us give witness to the faith, giving us tongues of fire to spread God's word in season and out of season, like we see the apostles do on Pentecost. How he wants to change the way we live so that we will live literally by the Holy Spirit, putting to death in us the things that are earthly, and with his help setting our heads and our hearts on the things of God, living by the gifts of the Holy Spirit and experiencing the Spirit's extraordinary fruit. As a sort of advanced preview, I look forward to examining how the Holy Spirit wants to grow in each of us those fundamental aspects of the Christian life. Today, however, I'd like to meditate with you on what the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles John and James to write down for us in today's gospel and epistle, so that the Spirit of truth, whom Jesus says in today's gospel, will guide us to all truth, may help us to understand the truth today, and not just understand it, but cooperate with and implement what he seeks to do in each believer. Jesus tells us today that the Holy Spirit wants to do three things in us and others. He will convict the world with regard to sin, to righteousness, and to condemnation. This word St. John uses for convict in Greek is elekhein, which basically conveys a lawyer's cross-examining a person on trial so effectively that the defendant is led to see and admit his errors and confess the whole truth while still on the stand. The Holy Spirit will convict us, Jesus says, with regard to three crucial spiritual realities. First is with regard to sin, because he says, they do not believe in me. The work of God, Jesus describes elsewhere in St. John's Gospel, is to believe in the one he sent. And sin, essentially, is opposition to that work. This failure to believe, this rejection of God, this killing of the message of the Gospel and the divine messenger within the praetorium of our hearts. We know that at the time of Jesus, many were unaware of just what was occurring at the crucifixion. People were not aware of the sin they were committing, prompting Jesus' merciful cry, Father, forgive them because they're ignoramuses. They don't know what they're doing. Many thought they were putting to death a blasphemer and so shouted for his death. But after Pentecost, when moved and helped by the Holy Spirit, St. Peter preached to the crowds about how they had condemned a just man and crucified the Lord of glory. They were pierced to the heart. That was the first work of the Holy Spirit, to convict the world of sin. That work continues, helping us to see the many ways we don't believe in God practically, in day-to-day life, in every aspect of our existence, the many contexts in which we don't live by faith, the settings in which we have not yet staked our entire existence on God's word. Holy Spirit does this in our consciences, as he makes us aware of and sorrowful for the ways our life has denied God and failed to love those in his image. He takes away our excuses. He helps us to recognize that we have greatly sinned by our own most grievous fault, and that we desperately need the mercy Jesus brought into the world. Second work of the Spirit, Jesus says, is to convict the world in regard to righteousness. Because Jesus says, I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. Righteousness means a correct relationship between a person and God and between persons in God. It involves both vertical and horizontal justice, being in right relationship with the Lord and others. The foundation for justice is Jesus' triumph over sin and death, his resurrection and ascension into glory. When the order of the universe was turned right side up, the Holy Spirit helps us to see that Jesus is not to be understood as a crucified criminal or as a Nazarene carpenter, but as the risen Lamb of God to whom wisdom and power, honor and glory and praise belong. The Holy Spirit helps us to perceive Jesus' righteousness or holiness, his extraordinary love that led him to sacrifice his love for ours, and helps us to open ourselves up to that gift of salvation. That work leads us to make the exodus from being convicted of sin to receiving Jesus' freely bestowed gift of righteousness. A priest prays in the formula of absolution in the sacrament of confession, God the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled the world to himself and sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sin. The Holy Spirit has been sent among us not merely to convict us of sin, but to show us something far more powerful. God's mercy triumphing over our misery. That God's justice has the last word over the injustices we've committed or suffered. That the path for us to become righteous is for us to receive Jesus' mercy and enter into communion with him who is the righteous one, mercy incarnate. The third work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, is with regard to judgment or condemnation, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. The Holy Spirit helps us to see that the devil has been judged, evil has been condemned, and wickedness doesn't have the last word. He helps us to see clearly the winning side and the losing side. And he assists us to choose with clarity and courage the side we want to be on now and always. Each of us will be judged, but the Holy Spirit helps us to know exactly on what criteria we will be judged so that we might order our life to God's word in such a way that we might go with humble, grateful confidence to meet that judge who is also our Savior. Holy Spirit guides us in all truth, helps us to believe in all that judge has taught us and done for us, and assists us to choose him over the various sinful disguises Barabbas takes in a human life. The Holy Spirit helps us to discern that in caring for the needy, the hungry, the thirsty, the poor, the naked, the imprisoned, and unknown, we're caring for Christ and choosing to go to his eternal right. Holy Spirit helps us to cross the road as Good Samaritans, to cross the aisle and enter the confessional, to cross ourselves and unite our joys and sufferings to Christ's life, suffering, death, and resurrection. What an awesome and indispensable gift this threefold conviction is. The fundamental work of the Spirit, through leading us to all truth and helping us to live that truth, is to sculpt us into the divine likeness, to help us to become holy as God is holy, merciful like he's merciful, perfect as he's perfect. Inspired by the Spirit, St. James tells us today that God willed to give us birth by the word of truth so that we might become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The action of the Holy Spirit inside of us is to help us to become first fruits of all creation. We know from the Old Testament that the first fruits were always given back to God. Holy Spirit helps us to receive on good soil the seed of God's word of truth so that we might give deeds of truth back to God together with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength. That helps us to understand what St. James says immediately afterward in today's epistle. Know this, my dear brothers. Everyone should be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of a man doesn't accomplish God's righteousness. The Holy Spirit wants to help us to be quick to hear both God's word as well as the cries of our neighbor. He wants to help us to listen with the ears of our hearts, like the contemplative heart of the Blessed Mother, who is the model of someone who cooperates fully with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be slow to speak and slow to anger, much like God who revealed himself to Moses on Mount Sinai as the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity. To be slow to anger means to be quick to mercy. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us become merciful like the Father in this very way. Because as he tells us through St. James, the anger of a person doesn't accomplish God's holiness. We now live in a world that's not cooperating with the Holy Spirit. In an age that's slow to hear the word of God and the cry of others, and one that is rapidissimo in speaking and expressing anger. Rather than imitating the Blessed Virgin and St. Joseph, many of us imitate bombastic talk show hosts, proffering our opinion unsolicited on every subject under the sun. We live in an age of rampant gossip, of shaming, of slaying our brother like Cain did Abel with the sword of our tongue. There are several prominent figures, including Catholics, who have made detraction in art form, caustically ripping other people apart, exposing their defects for all to see, and never mentioning whatever strengths they have, or exculpatory materials, all the while ignoring what Jesus said in the image of the plank and the speck, and in his clear admonition, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will render an account for every careless word they speak." The way of gossip is not the Christian path. It's not life according to the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to convict us of this sin, remind us of righteousness, and help us to learn truly to communicate as Christians. What is the way that we as sons and daughters of God are supposed to communicate? At the end of today's gospel, we get a glimpse. Speaking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus tells us, "He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and take from what is mine and declare it to you." Earlier in Jesus' Last Supper discourse, it's recorded for us by St. John, Jesus says something similar. "I do not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commands me what to say and speak. What I say as the Father has told me." Notice that neither the Holy Spirit or Jesus is winging it. They're not making it up as they go along. Both of them speak what they hear. Jesus passes on the Father's words, and the Holy Spirit echoes Jesus' words. The truly Christian form of communication that the Holy Spirit wants to help us to bring about is that our words will become more and more the echo of God's words. That whether we're silent, contemplatively listening, or whether we're speaking, we are hearing God's voice and speaking God's saving word. The more we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, the more we will be able to make our whole life like Mary's Magnificat. Scripture scholars look at Mary's Magnificat, what do we see? We see it's a synthesis in her own heart of the words of the great heroines from throughout the Old Testament. Led by the Spirit, she had studied that word so that she was able to take those great lines of these heroisms and own them, to recognize that God was speaking to her right then, and as she meditated upon them, when she finally burst out, she burst out with God's own word that had already taken her flesh. Pope Benedict wrote in his beautiful apostolic exhortation, The Word of God and the Life and Mission of the Church, that as we ponder sacred scripture with the help of the same Holy Spirit who inspired sacred scripture, our words are supposed to change. Our language is supposed to change. It's not that we're going to be speaking in the old English of the King James version of the Bible, but that what we say, how we say it, our whole body language, is meant to be an echo of the Word of God. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. The Holy Spirit wants to overshadow us like He overshadowed Mary, so that we will always listen to God's Word so prayerfully, attentively, and quickly that we will hear it as a word to be done and shared, a word that will teach us how to love each other in the same way God has shown us how to love, a word that will implant itself within and bear abundant fruit. The life of the saints is really the manifestation of the triumph of the Spirit's work in human beings. The saints are the ones who show us how to live according to the Spirit in everything. Yesterday in Madrid, the church beatified Guadalupe Ortiz de Landathari, the first woman and the third member of Opus Dei to be raised to the altar after St. Jose Maria and his successor, Blessed Alvaro del Portillo. And this parish, run so lovingly and competently by Fathers Barrett and Brisson, or priests of Opus Dei, we should all give thanks with them for this example of feminine holiness in the midst of ordinary life. Blessed Guadalupe was a Spanish chemist who helped to start Opus Dei for Women in Mexico. There was so much to learn from the extraordinary way she lived ordinary life, but you can find that as homework on the Opus Dei website, including with videos about her. The only thing I'd like to say here is what the postulator of her cause described about her personality. St. Paul had said that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, generosity, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-mastery. And Father Antonio Rodriguez, her postulator, said about her, many people who knew her underlined her overflowing cheerfulness, her habitual smile. She was welcoming to everybody. She transmitted peace and confidence to country women and university students, to women of any social standing. Her joy was not the result of some human effort, but rather the consequence of her knowing that she was a daughter of God, of her closeness to Christ. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And as a consequence, she was constant and serene. This helped her so much in her apostolate and in her service to the church and to society. The Holy Spirit wants to help us all in similar ways. One of the most important places in which the Holy Spirit carries out this transformative work is here at Mass. It's here where the Word of God is proclaimed and that we're given the opportunity by the Holy Spirit to be led more and more into all the truth. It's here that in response to that, we are trained to be quick to hear and quick to extend the message and reality of the love of God. It's here that just as the Spirit overshadowed Mary at the Annunciation, He overshadows the altar and the priest to transform bread and wine into the eternal Son of God incarnate, and to transform men and women into one body, one spirit in Christ. The Eucharist, Pope Benedict said in Australia, is a perpetual Pentecost, since every time we celebrate Mass, we receive the Holy Spirit, who unites us more deeply with Christ and transforms us into Him. Today we turn to the Holy Spirit, the greatest gift of God to mankind, who seeks to change us into the divine image. And we pray, come Holy Spirit, convict us of sin, of righteousness and judgment. Come Holy Spirit and lead us to all truth. Come Holy Spirit, help us to become quick to hear, slow to speak and slow to anger. Come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Enkindle in us the fire of your love and send us forth to light the world ablaze. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. And let us turn to St. Michael to ask his help to protect the work of the Holy Spirit within us.